Dear brothers and sisters, we've begun our celebration of the sacred Triduum. Through the mysteries we celebrate over the next 3 days, we encounter the person of Jesus Christ. We encounter him who, by dying, destroyed our death, and by rising, restored our life. Let's begin by just calling to mind in brief the meaning of these 3 days. Tonight on Holy Thursday, we celebrate the Mass of the Lord's Supper. With his apostles around him, Jesus gives the Jewish Passover its new and definitive meaning. The ancient Passover, stretching all the way back to the Hebrews enslaved in Egypt, was always about him. It is Jesus who is the true Passover lamb. His blood poured out for us saves us from the slavery of sin. At the Last Supper, Jesus instituted the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist, his true presence who abides with us under the appearances of bread and wine. Jesus also instituted the sacrament of holy orders, in which some of his disciples are set apart and consecrated to minister to the community of the church, thus perpetuating the gift of the Eucharist. Finally, Jesus washed the feet of his disciples as a model to follow. Our love for Jesus Christ is always bound up with our willingness to humble ourselves and serve one another out of love. We also commemorate Christ's agony in Gethsemane tonight, his betrayal and his arrest. We are invited to keep watch and pray with Christ in the Eucharist at the end of Holy Thursday. Tomorrow, on Good Friday, we enter into a church that is naked and bare. After being tried and condemned, Christ carries the cross outside the city of Jerusalem. Jesus is then himself stripped, naked and bare, and crucified on Golgotha. Bleeding and tortured, Christ takes upon himself the sins of the entire world. He offers us to the Father in the love of the Holy Spirit. He forgives his executioners. He forgives every one of us. Christ is buried, and it seems like his ministry has come to nothing. Tomorrow, each person in the assembly comes forward before the altar and venerates the wooden cross, a small act of worship to God who took our flesh and suffered for us on the tree. Then, Holy Saturday is a day of quiet waiting. Christ is in the tomb. As the Apostles' Creed states, Jesus died and was buried. He descended into hell. Christians continue to keep the Paschal fast begun on Good Friday until evening comes and the Easter vigil is celebrated. After the sun has gone down, the celebration of Christ's resurrection begins with a blazing fire. The Paschal candle is lit and carried into the church. As its light spreads to every believer, the darkness of death is defeated by the light of the risen one. Christ is risen. We proclaim the story of our salvation, and people all around the world are baptized that night for the forgiveness of their sins. Then all of us, all the baptized, are sprinkled with holy water as we renew our baptismal promises. The promises to leave behind the old self and to put on Christ. We celebrate the Eucharist once again, which is now our victory feast, full of light, song, and joy. These then are the days of the sacred Paschal Triduum. And how amazing it is that Christ comes so close to us in these days. We are not just remembering as if watching a video of the past. Rather, the power and grace of what Christ did for us is made present and efficacious. Like the Jews who celebrate the Passover and say, "Today the Lord our God has saved us." So when we celebrate these mysteries, we say, "This is today. Today the Lord has saved us and is with us." But let's now return to today's feast, the Mass of the Lord's Supper, and look closely at just one part of the mystery. Holy Thursday is very unusual in that there's no final blessing and dismissal. Instead, the ritual of the transfer of the Most Blessed Sacrament takes its place. Tonight, after Holy Communion, the remaining hosts are gathered into a single ciborium on the altar. And then with incense and candles, we will process with the Blessed Sacrament around the church. We'll actually do a whole loop first and then back to the place of repose. And this year, we've moved the place of repose from the Sacred Heart Shrine to the narthex. It's a little more spacious, a little more quiet as a place of prayer. So we're trying this year. Once the altar servers and I have begun our procession in song, all of us should stand and join in that procession. And we'll walk all around the church in procession until we come up the center aisle and finally follow Christ in the Eucharist back to the narthex, the place of repose. As we're doing this, we sing a very ancient hymn, the Pange Lingua. One of the verses goes like this. On the night of that Last Supper, seated with his chosen band, he, the paschal victim, eating, first fulfills the law's command. Then, as food to all his brethren, gives himself with his own hand. Once the Blessed Sacrament is placed in the tabernacle, the faithful are invited to spend some time in silent adoration of our Lord Jesus. And while not everyone needs to stay with Christ until adoration ends at 10 p.m., all of us should at least come back and pause in the narthex to stay with him, to keep watch and pray with our Lord for at least a few minutes. This is the ritual we do every Holy Thursday, and I've just explained what we do on Holy Thursday, but the deeper question is, why do we do it? Why do we do it? Why not just finish our worship in the usual way? Why a procession? Why the narthex? Why keep vigil with Christ in this way? Because certainly we could end the Mass in the usual way and then just come back on Good Friday tomorrow at 3 o'clock. To explain this, let's remember the scriptures. At the end of the Last Supper, Jesus and his friends went to the Mount of Olives, also called the Garden of Gethsemane. It was night. There Jesus was in agony. Jesus cried out to the Father. Jesus began to sweat blood, and he was sorrowful unto death. His burning desire was that his friends would stay with him, keep watch with him, and not leave him in his time of need. So when we follow the Blessed Sacrament to the place of repose tonight, we are following Christ to Gethsemane. We are saying with our feet, Lord, wherever you go, I will go with you. We will go with you. I will keep watch with you in your agony. I will not leave your side. I love you. To whom else shall I go? You have the words of everlasting life. You know, earlier Jesus told his disciples, where I am going, you cannot follow me now, though you will follow later. And Peter was confused. He said, Master, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. And what Jesus meant was, you cannot follow me now because I alone can overcome the evil one. I alone can create a doorway through the wall of death. You cannot do that at all. It is my mission. But once I do that, Peter, once I do that, people of God, then nothing will stop you from being with me. Then you will always follow me. I, the divine lamb, wherever I go. Our walking with Christ tonight and our staying with him is really an expression that our life is a pilgrimage. Now we do walk together with Christ. And sometimes Christ leads us into places of our lives and of our world where there is pain, sadness, frustration, loss, trauma, evil, and death. Sometimes he leads us into modern day Gethsemanes and modern day Golgothas. And in those places, he asks us not to leave his side, because he promises to turn tombs into triumphs and graves into gardens. He doesn't promise to keep us immune from all pain, but he does promise a way through it, in which we ourselves are the vessels of his healing balm. As we process through the church tonight, we believe that that same power to heal that is in Christ our head is in us, his mystical body. He is the head, and we are the body. He is the head, but we are his hands and feet in the world today. It's why we do this. It's why we pray this way. There's one final point that we should not miss. Walking on the road together, our feet will naturally pick up the dirt and dust of the world. Jesus tells Peter, "Whoever has bathed has no need except to have his feet washed, for he is clean all over." The cleansing bath is our baptism, which indeed spiritually purifies us and makes us holy. And yet we know that even after baptism, we can sin, stumble, or drag our feet in the mud. When we love one another, despite our sins, despite the weaknesses of the other person, we wash one another's feet. We serve each other out of love as Jesus modeled for us. Instead of taking a place of judgment or superiority, we lower ourselves before the other, we humble ourselves, and we wash their feet. We bear with one another's faults, and we choose compassion over bitterness, and we see our brothers and sisters as other Christs with me on the journey, even if they are not yet perfect, and even if I am far from perfect. Tonight, as I wash the feet of some of the disciples of our community, Jesus is at the same time commissioning all of us to go and do likewise. Go and serve. Go and humble yourself. Go and take the lowest place. Christ is now unseen at the Father's right hand, but he's visible in you and me. When we wash each other's feet, we are being Christ to one another on our pilgrimage to the kingdom of God. Friends, Christ, the Father's humble servant, is among us. As we now celebrate the washing of the feet, let us ask the grace to serve him, to keep watch with him, and to follow him wherever he leads us in this life.